I don't know about you, but I am too busy. I am too busy with stuff I need to get done, stuff that is on my plate, stuff you have put on my plate, stuff I have put on my plate. I need to go home and take the Christmas lights down so I can put up the Valentine's lights. It'd be Halloween before we know it. I am too busy. And I think you might be too busy too. And it's in the busyness that if we are not careful, we will miss the still small voice of God. We are in a month of listening. I'm challenging you to listen to one another. In the next 4 weeks, we will be talking about listening to God, listening to self, listening to others, and then the fourth Sunday we'll be listening as a congregation. We will be listening to each other, and I want you to come with ears that are not too busy. I want you to come to our listening sessions with ears that are open to hearing the dialogue from others. Samuel, the son of Hannah, a miracle child of sorts. Hannah had no children. She was not able to bear children. She was even bullied because she couldn't bear children. And Eli heard her crying in the chapel one day and thought she was drunk. That must have been some wailing and gnashing of teeth in my mind. And Eli gave her a blessing. And not long after the blessing, she gave birth. And as she brought Samuel into the world, she dedicated this young boy to the Lord. Scripture says that when she had weaned him, she sent him to temple. So somewhere around 3 or 4, she presented Eli with a young preschooler to be his assistant at the church. Now, I don't know about you, but a 3-year-old would not make my heart leap with happiness. I love my grandchildren. They'll be 5 next week, and my heart leaps with happiness when they come and when they leave. Having one to be an assistant with me all day, I think, would be more than either of us might be able to deal with. But Eli takes young Samuel and begins to grow him up in the way of the Lord. Interesting, scripture says, in those days, the word of the Lord was mainly silent. In these days, Eli was in the midst of awaiting punishment of God for prior acts. And so God had pulled himself away from the work of Eli. Eli continued to minister in the temple and seek the face of God, knowing that his punishment was coming. But he stayed faithful. And he brought up this young boy into the way of the Lord. And one evening, as the 11 o'clock news was ending, Samuel was on his way to bed. They lay down and got comfortable, and Samuel heard his name being called. As was his training, he jumped and ran to Eli to give assistance. And Eli said, "I didn't call you." Samuel goes back to bed. He hears his name again, jumps up, runs to see Eli, and "I didn't call you." Third time is the charm. As his name is called, he jumps up and runs again and to see what Eli is all about. And Eli says, "I didn't call you. But perhaps it is the Lord." Eli's eyesight was failing him, but his insight was still clear and sharp. So go back to bed, and this time when you hear your name called, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And he goes to bed and hears his name and replies. See, the Lord still speaks, but we are too busy. The Lord still speaks, but in the clutter of our busyness, in the drive of our appetites, we can't hear. But in the cool of the evening, just before the light was extinguished, Samuel heard and responded. Sometimes we have to withdraw from the world. We have to withdraw from the expectations that others put upon us. We have to give ourselves a little bit distance from our fear. Fear is the most powerful motivator that I know. And if we can ever overcome that fear, perhaps we can say, as Samuel said that night, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." While at times we have to have people interpret for us what the Lord might be saying, it is our responsibility to listen. And in that moment, Eli moved from a child of the temple. Samuel moved from a child of the temple to a child of God. By listening and obeying, in the spirit of obedience, Samuel heard God's voice. And you know what they were saying down at the First Methodist Church after that night. "We ain't never done it like that around here before." And so you say, well, here we are at church. It's a beautiful Sunday. The Lord is certainly among us. Perhaps if we are silent, perhaps if you would shut up, we might hear the Lord. Anyone? Because our ears are still busy. Because our ears are still busy. Because you're thinking about all the things you got to do this afternoon, all the places you got to be this afternoon. And if you're not thinking about any of that, you're hoping you can hear that baby coo just one more time. Because there's nothing more blessed. Thank you. So here we are in the house of God on this holy day, in this holy moment, and I'm giving you a holy word, and most of you are hearing this, blah, 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 blah. Or in Hebrew, yada, yada, yada. But perhaps the Lord is speaking. Perhaps in your mind in this moment, a seed has been planted where at some point God will speak. And when God speaks, then you go to those respected mentors and say, "I think God is sharing this with me. What do you think? How can I move into this with courage? How can I move into this with faith?" And I got to tell you, that's my prayer for us in the coming days. January 22nd through 26th, there will be sessions for us to come together in groups of 8 to 10 or 12 and talk about our church. We will talk about the good and the bad and the not so good and the whatever else is on your heart. It's a time for you to come and sit with people you might not normally sit with and talk about the life of this church and help us begin to gain some focus so that we can share with the Pastor Search Committee. Here's, Here's the temperature of the church. Here's the mood of the church right now. Here are the things that we continue to struggle with as you go and search for a new pastor. These are the things that will be expected when he or she comes. And I'm praying that 100 of you will come to those listening sessions. I'm praying for 100 people to sign up for those sessions and come and visit with me and with one another and talk about the life of our church. Sign-ups begin in the morning, and we've scattered sessions during the afternoon and the evening to give you an opportunity to come at your most convenient time. If there's not a time that's on there that's convenient, let me know or let the office know, and we'll try to find another one. By listening, Samuel was obedient. And by listening, I hope that we will be obedient as well. But it's quite possible that you may go out of this door today without hearing a word from the Lord. It's possible that you may go out of here thinking, well, I don't know what he was talking about today. It's possible that there might be times when God distances himself from us in the same way God distanced himself from Eli. And in those times when God seems distant, in our own egotistical humility, we figure it out ourselves. I don't know about you, but the times I've figured it out myself, I have messed it up really well. Wait upon the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord. And as we do that, God speaks into our obedience. And we move from where we are to where God would have us to be. A year from now, there will be movement in the life of this congregation. I don't say that to scare you or to warn you. I say that to excite you that God is moving in ways we don't even know yet. God is at work in ways of preparing us in this next chapter. Will you be obedient or will you shake your fist at God? That'll be a question for another day. Are you willing to listen to what God might be saying to the church? Are you willing to listen to what God might be saying to you? As a part of my work at the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, we used to have prayer retreats for pastoral leaders, and we would invite pastors to come in and be with us for 3 days. And we would spend time praying and learning about praying and praying some more. We offered lots of prayer practices for our pastoral leaders to enter into, silence being one of those, breath prayer being one of those, colloquy, talking with a biblical character being one of those. We'll have time to talk more about all that. But silence was the big one, because rarely are we silent. And on the second day of the retreat, we had a silent lunch. So you go and get your tray and you are in silence. And we wear badges that says in silence, please honor the silence. We go through the line with our tray, and we're served by the servers, and we're all in silence. And perhaps we will nod at the server, but for the most part, we get our tray, and we go to the table, and we sit down. with one another. Now, I don't know about you, but when I have a meal with somebody, I want to talk. When I have a meal with somebody, I want you to talk back. The kitchen table is where Gail and I make all of our major decisions. We call time out of whatever we're doing, and we go and sit at the table and look at one another. Everything else is turned off, and we talk about what's happening. If our kitchen table is too cluttered, we go to the Fiesta Mexicana Mexican restaurant about a mile down the road. Those are important times for us at the kitchen table. Those are important times for most of us when we find ourselves at table. Today we come to the Lord's table. And for many of us, while there won't be conversation between us, there will be conversation between you and the Spirit. So I'm sitting at lunch, and I'm looking across the table at my brothers and sisters, but mainly I'm looking at my food and trying to tell myself how thankful I am for what God has provided and to hurry and eat and get out of there as quickly as I can because it's awkward. And I can tell you, mashed potatoes are really loud when no one's talking. And so I'm eating my meal as fast as I can. I'm trying to be done. And in the midst of one of those bites, I look up and I see one of the men in our group, and he looks at me, and I nod my head and quickly go back. And I look up, and he's wiping tears, and he gets up and walks out. He goes out on the deck of the place where we're staying, and so I push my chair back and get up and walk out to see him. And he looks at me, and tears are coming down his cheeks, and I simply held out my hands, and he fell into my arms, and he sobbed. In a few minutes, he tapped me on my shoulder, and I tapped him on his shoulder, and I went back to finish. Not a word was spoken, not a word, but what a powerful moment. I'd never seen this man before. I didn't really know him. But in that moment, something happened. Later that evening, he pulled me aside and he said, "I'm so embarrassed by our lunch today. I'm so sorry. I just want to apologize to you for breaking down like that." I said, "No, that was an honor. And that was a blessing. Don't apologize for that." I said, "What was going on? Can you tell me what's going on?" He said, "I love my church. I give love to my church. I lead my church with love. But they never give back. And I am so empty. And I am so lonely. They never give me love back. But when I looked in your eyes today over those mashed potatoes, I saw love. And I was just overcome. Not a word was spoken. Really, just an awkward gesture across the table. But in that moment when our eyes met, something. Well, the Spirit of the Lord, or the voice of God, said to this man, "You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Today, as we come to this table, God says the same things to us. "You are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased." It doesn't matter the history that you bring. It matters the faithfulness that impels you to participate.